You are listening to FMA Talk Live. FMA Talk Live is a live talk show created for the promotion of Filipino martial arts. Your hosts are John Binarski, Federico Malabago, Mark Basil, and Datu Tim Harmon. For more information on the show, upcoming events and guests, information about the hosts, their schools, and more can be found at www.fmatalklive.com. Also check out www.fmatalk.com for general FMA news, events, and discussions. On Facebook, we're at facebook.com/FMA Talk Live, and we're FMA Talk Live on Twitter. If you're listening on iTunes, please subscribe to our channel and give us a great rating. Thanks for listening.
Yes, this is FMA Talk Live. Thanks again for tuning in and for downloading the podcast and for supporting the show. This week we have a special guest. We have Master Ermar Alexander. He is an accomplished fighter in the FMA tournament scene. He has been competing for 14 years and has multiple gold medals and silvers and bronzes, but he's also a Ya Yan instructor and teaches both Dose Pares, Ya Yan, and MMA out of his gym in London, and we're super happy to have him on the show this week. FMATalkLive.com is the website for the show, and you can go there and get past episodes, and you can see what's coming up in upcoming episodes. We also have our Zanzibar daggers for sale. We have some other merchandise there, some shirts. We got some good deals on our current shirt designs. So, you know, if you can see it in your heart to help us out and buy some of that stuff, that certainly keeps us rolling along here and greases the wheels. And also check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/FMA Talk Live. And then our Twitter feed is FMA Talk Live as well. So without further ado, please welcome Master Ermar Alexander onto the show. He's was gracious enough to come onto the show after we managed to completely botch the last interview we did with him, and then through
on the technical side.
Yeah, it was.
It was probably the most superior interview we've ever had.
It actually, yeah.
Exactly.
For those of you for those of you who are listening live and happen to have a giant amplifier attached to your computer, you got the possibly one of the best interviews we ever did. So, so also I just want to quick apologize for those of you who tuned in live over the weekend. We had just a couple scheduling issues that we ran into, but nevertheless, he's back with us now. Thanks, Ermar, for being on the show again here with us.
No problem.
You are a Dose Pares guru, or is there a specific title that you've attained over the years, or how do you?
Yeah, well, at the moment I seem to be called a master. Not that master. I see myself as that, but I think that it comes with a title, so I kind of use it as well for club aspect. So it's a good selling point as well. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and the nice thing about the master too is people know what that is. Whereas it's like guru. Oh, so you do yoga.
Yeah.
So are we going to India then with that, or how does that work?
Right, yeah.
But all right, so and you started training back in 1999?
That's right, yep.
Okay. And you've also trained in the Philippines. How did how'd you come to find this crazy Filipino martial art, nevertheless, Dose Pares in general, back in the late 90s?
It was not easy to find, to be honest. I was one of the fortunate, you know, able to find a good instructor who is also a Filipino and also can speak the same dialect. So it was down to my best friend at the time who introduced me to him. Prior to that, I wasn't really doing anything much, and I was in Cebu at the time that he was visiting me for my birthday, and he's the one who introduced me to Eskrima, which I never heard of it before. Never heard of Filipino martial art, full stop. I did karate, a very typical Tang Cebu style. So I wasn't till my 21, I think I was, 21 that I started my Eskrima life, or the Filipino martial arts. But it was fun, time of discovering it, you know?
Yeah, because, you know, when I talked to Federico about that, you know, he always explains it like, what? We have our own martial art?
Oh, yeah, no. I definitely remember finding a book in, I told Dr. Riley when we had him on. You know, when I first found his book, I thought it was a crank, a joke book. Until I showed it to my dad, and he's like, oh, no, that's real. And it's like, why have you never told me about
this? Was that kind of the same thing with you? Your parents just didn't, you know, nobody talked about it? It was just something like, eh.
Yeah, it's the same case with me. Yeah, that was the issue as well. I mean, my mom was remarried to a British guy. So there was like what you call an issue on who was at the time. So I didn't really know. My mom never really talked about such thing as martial art before. No, it wasn't until I was 21 I discovered it, and I asked her, why can't you tell me? And she said, oh, you know what, I forgot. I said, okay.
Thanks a lot.
You know, as a big kind of forgot, a culture shock kind of thing, you know. And when someone, a friend of mine who's English, telling me, you know what, you got a martial art, you didn't even know about it. It's like a big slap to my face. And then, you know, from then, that's when I started searching and delving into the system. And then I think the first book that I read was Modern Arnis. And then it grew my interest into then. Yeah, so I think it was through my friend that he introduced me to Dos Separas system back in 1999. And then after that, I think I fell in love with it. And then I kind of understood who I was and who I was from. And I understood more about myself and my culture. So I think from there, it grew within myself and within the community. I think since I've been doing the Filipino Eskrima, I had more Filipino friends. I understood more of them, you know. Before it was predominantly, it was English. You know, I live in a countryside where probably you can find one or two black guys in probably in a week, you know. So finding a Filipino is very rare.
So how lucky are you that you find, you know, Dos Separas, and here it's got this
Filipino instructor too.
Yeah, you got a Filipino instructor, and you find out that, you know, part of your heritage is this super, you know, cool martial art that involves swords and knives and hand-to-hand fighting, and, you know, just this rich history. And, you know, you're probably already doing, you know, your background, you know, you're probably doing sparring, and you know, you're a guy who likes to scrap, so That must have been just great to start delving into this and going, oh, there's sparring and competitions and all this.
Definitely. I mean, I think I was one of the luckiest guy ever, I think, to be honest. It's like, you know, winning a jackpot in a lottery. How could you just, you know, find something like that, an instructor who is from the Philippines, from Cebu, not far from where I live as well, and speak the same dialect? He was like, wow, it's like meant to be, if you know what I mean. So... yeah, it was good. I mean, the connection was like it started with the English guy who taught me, but he also, the connection was also from this Visayan instructor that later on took instruction from him, and then it grew from there, from taking my black belts. It was a weird thing, to be honest, to find the system that way, especially it was a time that I wasn't really into martial art, not that I was looking to do things because I was so busy at my work. I didn't have time for it, but once I did find the system, it was something like I need to really know it. One was because it was Filipino. Two, the art that I was studying was really from Cebu. So yeah, it had more impact to me.
Yeah, not to mention swords and stick fighting is just cool. Yeah. So what are you going to do?
Did you originally start out then in the Dulce Pedro Smolta style then under Juni Kinyete, or who did you start out with then?
I started with the Danny Guba, Grandmaster Danny Guba at the time, which still was, what do you call it, a Dos Separas system then. Back then it was, I think, before all the split happened. I think it was under Kakoi, Kenyatta at the time, was studying. So the instructor that I was in, he was under the Kakoi, it was one branch at a time. So in a way, I kind of belong within that branch. And then later on, of course, it split into two. And now I'm with the junior Kenyatta, SGM Kenyatta group. But I started with Danny Guba.
So what, do you remember kind of what style they were teaching you? Was it because there's so many different styles that a lot of the masters kind of gravitated to. Do you remember, was it a lot of the locks? Was it more of the, Largo style? Was it more of the Blintawaki type style?
Or was it the multi-style?
Or just the total multi-style?
Yeah, it was a total multi-style. I mean, I think it was a very good mixture of a bit of everything. I think maybe the only thing I would suggest it was missing was probably the Spider Dagger aspect of it. And of course, the instructor that I had was geared up also in close quarter. He was very good. But he had a very good aspect in Lagamano and the old style of Reiterada, which is the basic San Miguel technique of Spider Dagger. I mean, we didn't do too much with the locks at that time, but we had a few what you call the stick locks technique into it. Involved, so yeah, I think it was a very good mix. I mean, it wasn't focused on certain things, like some people said they're good at the locks area or the Balintawak area. I think it was a bit of everything when I was learning. So again, it was very, very fortunate for me to do that. And for my transition to going to Jim Juni was a very small adjustment to my part in order to take on this HQ style, which is they were slightly different as well.
Was sparring introduced early on to you, or the whole safari style sparring and competition?
Sparring, yeah, I think it was introduced to me, within less than a year. I mean, I did my competition back in 2000. So within about a year of my introduction to the Screamer, I delved in straight into sparring. And I think I sparred it probably within about 6 months, maybe less than that. I enjoyed it. I loved it, because you could whack someone so hard in the head and not damage them too much, you know what I mean? And you get that frustration out as well, you know?
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I started early on the sparring side. I think it was great. I mean, I could see how to apply the technique and what technique worked and what didn't, you know? We did a lot of different disarming, different abecedario kind of thing, and you start understanding the simplest move is the best move to use.
Was that your instructor's methodology, was to kind of get you guys going and sparring, as soon as possible? Is that kind of...
I think in a way it was, yeah. And then, of course, with my bit of my say, I've seen a few things. Can you kind of push him into it as well to put us into the sparring side? Yeah, I think, he kind of put it early on because that he was into interest of the sparring as well as the form competition side of the Dorsey Power system. So yeah, it was probably partly his influence in the competition in WCAF style. So yeah, so we're kind of again fortunate that we had an instructor who was experienced on both ends of fighting as well as competing in the form or the katas.
Okay. And was that just a purely Filipino martial arts school, or was he teaching our niece out of another school?
He was teaching purely Dorsey Paris in this particular school itself, and this school that I studied in was a mixture. It was a club that teaches JKD, had Muay Thai, had some strange kung fu in there. A monk was teaching or something. I can't remember what style it was, but I didn't really. And they had off the wall self defense stuff. But mainly I was really focused on the Dorsey Power system. And the instructor that I was learning from, he was really, again, he was diehard in Dorsey Power system as well. So that's what he really was teaching.
Nice.
And when you're training, and one of the things that, we talked about the last time we had John, and I figure since that's lost to the goats, we can bring it up again. One of the reasons, Mark and I, when you first came up on our radar was your low armor cop videos and just your approach to stick fighting, Eskrima as fighting versus some esoteric drill-based system. Was that something ingrained in your early training, or something that you brought to your training, you know, from your personal side?
I think that was more my personal side, that I wanted to have more background in free open sparring rather than going through drills, because sometimes drills, it's just a drill, it's a pattern, you know, a pattern that sometimes it doesn't work on. You're fighting someone who doesn't know the pattern that you're working on. So, yeah, it was really a test for myself as an individual, how I would test myself in this system against another system. I think it's more of a personal level than me going competing, especially in low armor. Low armor, I never wanted to do that. I was scared, you know. I always tell my student, when I do low armor, I was scared, you know. that's weird, but how scared I was pooped in my pants. I only took it because some English guy challenged me into it. He said, you know, you're scared. You're no good. You're crap. So that kind of drove me to do even better, because these guys were doing low armor. There was no Filipinos were doing it. So for me, it was a stepping stone. Yes, it was. It was no Filipinos. So for me, I felt like, you know, well, why is no Filipino doing it? And my instructor wasn't into this kind of thing. He said, no, don't do it. It's blah, blah, it's no good. I said, you know what? These guys are asking me to come in, and they're like giving me this funny look in the face, like, you guys are just, you know, you're just good at armor. And I said, you know what? Let me try. It took me about 2 years before they invited me to participate in it. So since then, I think I never looked back. So I think it was down to a person telling me, you know what, you guys are crap, you know, telling me, like, you know. And I looked at it, there was no Filipino on the scene, so I had to step in. So I think that was a challenge for my part, and I don't regret it, you know what I mean? And I enjoyed every part of it, and yeah.
So what was that first tournament that you went to?
The first tournament was the Low Armor, back in 2004.
That was the Low Armor, okay. So
yeah.
Okay, wow. Man, yeah, that must have been crazy. That's your first tournament.
Oh, no, it wasn't my first tournament, sorry.
Okay.
My first tournament was the WECAF.
It was
the WECAF. I started with the BAF. It was a WECAF style, 2000, and then I competed 2001. 2002 was the World Championship here in London. And then 2003 was the European, I think, in either Poland, I can't remember. And then 2004, when some guys tried to invite me to compete with this, because it was a new thing, this low armor. I think it started in 2003. Rumors was going, oh, these guys are hard, you know, this is hardcore stuff. And I looked at them and said, man, these guys are mad, you know, I don't know if this is the kind of thing. That thing is painful. Mm-hmm. So this guy would invite me over and over again, come on. And I looked at it, you know, these guys were the same dudes that was fighting in WECAF, and these guys were doing, you know, hard stuff. And I was scared. So yeah, down to that, a guy said, you know, you guys, I don't think you're not that good. So it was more of a challenge, really. A guy took on to me. So if it wasn't for him, I don't think I would never done a low armor.
And that, do they do the do they do the WECAF sticks in the low armor, or is it the skinned, you know, 1-inch rattan?
It's a skinned rattan, yeah. So it's one of those, what do you call it, the one with a colored in the middle.
Okay, so it's like the WECAF stick.
It's like the WECAF style, yeah,
okay.
Yeah. So it's still pretty painful, you know?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
So, yeah. Man, so when I went to take it, it still hurts, yeah, it still hurts, you know? So when I first got introduced to it in 2004, when I was fighting, it was good because I could see that the technique that I was visualizing was similar to what I did in the padded stick, into the WECAF style I brought into the low armor. And the people that did it, they couldn't believe what they were seeing. They said, this madman who'd never fought before in low armor, fighting like WECAF style. And when I looked at the video, they were much more what you call block hit. It was very, very boring kind of technique. There was no excitement into it. So they'll go in, it's like more of exchanges.
Okay.
So with me coming in, I could take a few hits and, you know, I could understand how to control the strike, where I wouldn't get hurt, because it is a stick fighting, not a sword fighting game. That's where I get a lot of these messages on the fight. You'll get cut. Saying, hello, it's stick fighting. So yeah, it was good. It's a good concept. I mean, you know, I would love to do it again. I think, I don't know, maybe they have one this year, maybe.
Yeah, that's, well, you kind of mentioned something there that, you know, I think, you know, there's always people who have the controversy over, well, you know, a stick fight isn't, you know, you can't do a blade fight and then switch to a stick fight. And
yeah.
Like, well, I don't know. The more you start playing between the different, you know, rules and whatnot, I think you can easily, you know, switch between the two. And
you can adjust very easily. Yeah, I mean, yeah. I think, you know, it's common sense what you're fighting, what yourself are into. You know, you're not going to go, you know what, I'm in sword fighting, I'm going to teach it like a stick fighting. Of course you don't do that, you know?
Yeah, and it's not like you're going to, you know, it's just like, well, low armor versus armor. I mean, I'm not going to forget I'm not wearing, you know, armor, or I have a helmet on. So,
exactly,
you know,
yeah.
You know, it's like, you know, I know the difference between a sword and a stick too, so.
Yeah.
It's also that thing too, we were having this discussion in class last night, you know, that's why there's so many, you know, it behooves a practitioner who wants to be well-rounded to try all the different formats of fighting and sparring, from armor to no armor to limited armor, from padded to hard stick and all that, to kind of see where their game fits. If it fits well enough, you know, because good fighting is good fighting, and it should fit well in all those brackets.
Definitely, yeah. I mean, I've tried every single different style of fighting, and I'm fortunate, and I would push my students the same thing. I would go with any style. I've done padded stick, I've done low armor, I've done weak-up style, I've done some crazy one as well back in Italy. I think they called it a Kia. It didn't kind of took off, but that was a funny kind of system as well. It was you could only hit the body and the shin, and we were wearing like biker's gear. But again, that was interesting. I had to go, and a lot of the British guys were going, no, it looks silly. So why not come over here? Let's do it. Let's play. It's different kind of rule set, you know? So you defend different types. So you'd be defending your body and your shin, you know? And the package was different.
Oh, yeah.
It was like more of a karate kind of style. So a flag would go up. So it's more of a block hit, stop. So, you know, and it was nice. It was a different way of doing weaker style. And then yet again, I've tested it, and I loved it. I mean, you know, that's why now I enjoy doing padded stick as well, again, because it's a different rule set.
Yeah, we have we have kind of a different one as well. So when we get together, your targets are pretty open, but we each hold a bottle of beer, and you can't whoever spills the beer first loses. So.
Or buys the round, yeah?
Yeah, has to buy the next round.
Because we
drank
it all, yeah.
You'd be surprised. The more we spar, the crazier it gets. I don't know why. That's just what happens.
That's something that I need to try too. I want to get there to that style. But yeah, I think the more you try different way of competition, I think the more rounded person you are. And the more you understand. I think you shouldn't be close-minded and stick to one competition, whether it's low armor, it's weak F, it's padded stick. I think it enhances you to do a bit of everything, because if you just stick to one aspect, say, I just purely do padded stick, you're going to be no good in weak F. I know weak F is not realistic in a way, because you're bashing each other to death and not blocking, but you enhance your padded stick speed. And obviously, use your common sense, you block more, and, you know, more in and out. But it does complement each other rather than you stick them to one. Like if you stick on weaker style, you won't understand much on the padded stick, but you have the edge of speed.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Oh, that kind of reminds me of, I think it was Darren Tavone who was describing, they're doing something interesting with their comp rules of what, they had like, what was it, like three rounds, one round continuous, one round point, and then one round something completely different, and then it's the average score in all the formats.
Yeah, it was three different things.
That's a bit more complicated, huh?
it's an awesome idea, though, because, you know, it forces...
Yeah.
Yeah, it forces you out of your element no matter, or forces you to be well-rounded one way or the other, and... No one can complain that, hey, my format wasn't there.
Yeah, definitely. It'll be interesting if they do push it. I mean, you know, something that I think everyone should try as well.
So I got to ask you, your wife, it's Deanna, is that her name?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So she's also a world champion stick fighter.
Yes. She's an accomplished student as well. So she fights beside me. So yeah, she competes as hard as I do. Yeah, single stick, double stick, knife, including forms. So we try to take everything. You know what I mean?
So when you guys can't agree on where to eat dinner, does it just you just gotta pick up sticks and like
that's why you're an accomplished fighter.
Yeah.
or you just go the safe route and you win, honey.
yeah. So argument is a no good thing to do.
Yeah, exactly. So how did you two meet?
The same thing, I guess, is she was looking for an instructor and I was looking for a student, and bish bash bong, that's it.
Okay.
She was one of my first students.
Wow. You are just the luckiest man. Holy cow.
Yeah. So I didn't teach at the time, so she kind of forced me to teach other people. I didn't want to teach my technique, my style, my fighting.
Yeah, why
I
would
enjoy,
you? You're,
I enjoy
you're out there taking names and taking, why would you want to have competition out there? But I guess it's... Now they're coming with you, and they're, you know, now you got your school, you're teaching, geez, you got the Doce Pares, you got Yao Yan, you got, what all are you teaching out of the school now?
I teach the Escrima, Doce Pares, I teach the Yao Yan kickboxing, and I teach the MMA as well, so I've got three stuff going on in the gym.
Yeah, and, the Yao Yan is a you know, it's an interesting story as well, how you pick that up. You know, you, if I remember right, you found it in the Philippines, right? When you were over there visiting?
Yeah. I think it started off, I saw like a documentary, one of the French guy, I think, I saw on TV over there, and I never heard of it. So what's this Yao Yan thing, you know? And it looked good, the way they were kicking, everything similar to Muay Thai, and it was all-rounded. And it has an element of the La Ponte system into it, which is, again, another Arnis technique. And, wow, it works seamlessly with what I did. I mean, those guys had it.
And were you doing Muay Thai at that point?
I had a big... I had an experience in Muay Thai as well. I had experience, 3 years experience in kickboxing Kung Fu back in when I was 18. I competed in it. I mean, I wasn't highly competition, but I did some training in kickboxing, so it kind of had me interested in it. And again, it heightened the interest again because it was Filipino, and there was an instructor in Cebu at the time, had the best gym in the city. So yeah, so I took that on because it worked nicely for what I needed for the full-time gym that I was running. And then at the same time, this group were doing MMA, so yeah, it was a perfect mix.
And you went, and so now you've trained that. And I think last time we talked to you, you either had or you had ordered the giant bag we were talking about, kind of that signature
bag of doom, yeah,
the signature giant bag that you see in the in the Yao Yan videos,
yeah,
online
gym, yeah,
and whatnot. One of the things we had mentioned, you know, before in our last conversation was, you know, the thing that makes Yao Yan impressive is not only is it unique and Filipino, but it competes on the world stage with
Muay Thai
and Muay Boran, yeah, you know, and all the other you know world class fighting systems.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I mean, what's your experience with that in your MMA programs? Do you have any of your fighters now competing using Yao Yan against, in MMA or any kickboxing competitions?
Yeah, I mean, we're a very young group at this thing. So yes, we have a few fighters that have experimented on to do an amateur kickboxing K1 competition, and as well as doing MMA, and we're doing very, very well using the system. And because it's so, the fluidity of it, it's so different to other system that's out there. It's very Filipino-like, and because if it's a screamer's technique that comes out of it, it's an unpredictable move because we switch from left to right. The same thing we do with the weaponry. So yeah, I think it was good. I mean, it makes you think quicker. So our MMA fighters were gaining positions very, very well, even though that we weren't very good in the groundwork. we had the basic knowledge, and we could, and we were beating the guys that are purely MMA guys, and you know, they could see this. What's this system guys are teaching? You know, this is Filipino system, never heard of it. So for us, it's very good advertising, and for them, it's good for us that we can compete the MMA level gym, and that's all they concentrate, and we can, and we can beat them.
And do you see, you know, crossover between Yao Yan and the Dos Pares at all?
I think I'm doing that right now in a way. I think it has a very good technique. It's the Dos Pares at the moment has its basic mano-mano system, but it lacks its things in kicking the way the Yao Yan has. So I still separate the two, but I think it can merge in very, very easily.
Okay. Because, you know, that's one of the things that, you know, we try to work on is, you know, incorporating, you know, any kind of footwork enhancement or anything, especially when it comes to maybe not necessarily peppering in for, you know, our day-to-day instruction, but at least in the sparring aspect and in the fighting aspect, you know, whatever we can do to get an advantage, whether it be just, I don't know, you know, getting in on the inside or things like that. So I don't know, do you see that where, you know, the guys who train in, you know, both the Yao Yan and your Dos Pares, you know, kind of tend to maybe get a bit of an edge, or is it just up to that individual?
Are they more well-rounded kind of dealy?
Yeah, I think it's more, they're definitely more rounded because the way the Dos Pares system is a multi-style, so we cover every aspect of four ranges from larga mano to corto, and also the corto with corto linea and corto corbada. I kind of used that technique and also with the backhand punches, and it works really well. And with a Yao Yan back kick, which is a very strange kick to have, and it always comes in. You know, if the guy's not expecting it, you're going to get him right on the solar plexus, and it always works. I've always had it landing at the people that don't know what Yao Yan is about. You can suddenly just put this funny kick in, and it goes in the center line, and they're all like, what the hell was that? Like, well, that's Yao Yan kick for you. And then by the time they get hit, they get bashed by the Yao Yan back fist, which is the bowler punches. Go, wow, you know, it's like, you guys, what's this movement? It's so different. It's not straight. It's not round. It attacks at every angle. So it's similar to the Eskrima, the Dos Pares system, you know?
I wonder if GSBA, I don't know if they spell out the rules for where you can actually hold the stick. Maybe you could tape one to your foot.
That'd be a very interesting concept.
While we're on the subject of that, though, could you elaborate more on the Lopunni aspect of Arnista's taught with a Yadnya, or is it just a basic usage of the weapon, or how does it come into play within the system?
What, the Yao Yan and the Eskrima?
Yes.
The Yao Yan and the Eskrima. Is that more? It's more on the hand aspect, not the foot. So, like the Sinawalit drill they use for punching, the bowler punches, they punch more on their forearm and on the base of their fist. So the Yao Yan back fist is based on the Eskrima sticks when you hit when you're hitting someone with the butt of the stick.
Ooh, interesting.
Yeah, so it's more of a hand strike rather than you call a foot strike.
And for, I think we asked you to do this last time, and I realized we forgot to do it this time. For our listeners who aren't very familiar with Yao Yan's history, could you give us a brief rundown?
What is Yao Yan?
What is Yao Yan and a little bit about its history?
Yeah, Yao Yan was back in 1972 was designed by GM Napolis from the Manila. His kind of system kind of mixed with a bit of Taekwondo, a bit of Kung Fu into it, and a bit of Muay Thai. So again, it's what you call a hybrid system, really, of the Yao Yan. So it's a mixture of different art put into one, and because the Yao Yan is it's got a very interesting name, which is, you know, sometimes I don't like using it, especially in the embassy displaying of the art. It's Dance of Death. I've used it a few times, and people like raise an eyebrow. I was like, what?
That's what you want to tell the parents when they're going to drop their kids
off. Yeah, the parents is like, what kind of stuff are you teaching my kids? Don't worry, don't think of the name. it's just pure kickboxing. So, yeah, I mean, yeah, it's not a very old art. It's 1972. It's a very young art. But it's, again, yet again, it's a very complete, and it's very tactical in self-defense. And it can compete with all the other system out there that is based on empty hand with kickboxing or Muay Thai. It's a world class and can compete in the ring. So hopefully in the future, maybe we'll see some MMA fighters take on Yao Yan rather than at the moment. It's very strong Muay Thai based in a way. And at the moment, Sanders coming up as well. So I think Yao Yan is probably the next big thing.
And yeah, I got to ask, is there an actual dance that you guys do?
Not that I know of. Dance of death, I guess. No, there's no form that I know of. Not unless they're getting it away from me.
That's your next marketing opportunity. Just come up with.
Yeah, maybe it's a tenant killing. I don't know.
So where's your school? Your school is in downtown London, and I think last time we were talking, you said you were at least within a good morning's run distance from Buckingham Palace. So.
Yeah, we're very central. Yeah, we're about 15 minutes away from Buckingham Palace, so it's a very, very good location. Very central, 20 minutes away from Trafalgar Square. So we're in West London near Kensington and very close to Chelsea.
And so when people are looking for you and whatnot, what typically are they asking for when they're coming to visit your school now? Is it more MMA or is it a good mix of everything or?
Mainly it's the screamer. They either see a film about it, like mainly Born Identity. Or the Helen film. I said, you know what, I saw someone doing some kind of thing, and they do research. And then when they do the research on Google, we always come up when they do screamer. So yeah, mainly a lot of the guys want to do screamer with the Filipino martial art in Arnis, in weaponry system.
Oh, that's good news. I like to hear that.
Yeah, so mainly, yeah, they're very specific. I mean, they just Google, you know what, they know what they want. So every time they do come, I always ask them the question, what are you here for? I said, I want to do sticks. Perfect. This is the place for you. We've got kickboxing if you wish to do it as well, and we have the MMA. So, yeah, mainly people do come just for a screamer. Majority.
And
say
are they coming 90%. Are they coming for any specific aspect of a screamer? Because we were talking about fighting versus drilling. Are they looking more for fight training or just general exposure?
I think general exposure, they love of it in the film, especially the concept of learning the weapon first and then later the empty hand and the speed of it. So a lot of the guys are like, you know what, I like the sticks aspect of it, really. And then some, you get to make sure I like the empty hand of it, the mano-mano system. So yeah, I think it's about the weaponry, what really turns them on, you know. I love the weaponry of it. I like the way that you teach the weapons straight from the beginning, you know?
Nice.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
That's encouraging. We like to hear it when people are like, no, they come for this. They come for the Arnis, so.
yeah, hey.
And so in addition to the local clientele, you also host people who are coming in from other countries or and whatnot as well, correct?
Yes, I have guys that's coming from Germany, from Dubai, from Egypt, that trains with me, comes and visit the gym. I've done seminars around Europe, also conducting the Dosbury system. So yeah, I've got a very broad student base around the country. Mainly, I've got quite a few in Germany, mainly that learn directly from me and also run and take my actual EA Dosapress as a label kind of thing, that so that people know it's from my group rather than from other systems.
Yeah, that's great. And then when you are training with the foreign students, is that kind of a special time? Are you teaching them a certain system, or is it kind of a special hybrid of your system, or is it just the same stuff you learn, or is it kind of tailored for them?
It's more the same system, but of course, the fighting aspect of it is my own way of understanding how I win, how my idea worked in competition. But the syllabus work is the same as what you would say Dr. Paris for them. And of course, when they come, it is tailored for what they want to do. Mainly, it's a lot of it is syllabus work. So they do a lot of one-to-one with me, training-wise. And then they got the bagging technique. The bagging technique is mainly, purely is my system, my style. But again, of course, there's always a Dr. Paris influence into it from previous instructors.
All right, that makes sense. So what's going on now in your world? What's coming up? Anything special? You're just going to take a long vacation and forget about this stuff for a while?
No, I think in June, I'm away to in Warsaw in Poland. I'll be conducting a seminar there for the Super system. And I got a few guys coming in May, coming from Dubai, who's training with me, focusing for the WCAF World Championship. So they'll be training for 2 to 3 weeks on techniques. And also I have German group are coming in for their gradings, and as well as preparing for themselves for next competition coming up.
All right. And then, yeah, because it's going to be a lot of competitions coming up in July,
yeah, very busy, yeah.
So, well, all right. Anything else, guys? We're kind of running up against the end of the hour here, so nothing. Quiet, John.
Oh, Lordy,
John.
I know we're missing important stuff, but
John, didn't you have any anything else?
No, nothing to add.
You had your, okay, all right. Well, good. Well, thank you, sir. We really appreciate you kind of coming back on with us. I've been looking at the levels, so barring a meteorite coming through the roof and hitting my computer, I think we're going to be okay with this one, so we'll get her freshly minted and out to everybody. Well, good luck, and, you know, like we talked about before the show, look forward to seeing you. I'll be there in Rome, and
excellent. Looking forward to meeting you guys.
Yeah, it'll be wonderful.
Well, unfortunately, it's just Mark. So,
well, he says that we'll get him. We'll figure out a way to get him. I'll put him in my luggage or something. Giant. I got a pretty big suitcase. We'll have John in the carry-on and, you know, feed him some snacks every once in a while.
Use him as a backpack.
Yeah, that's right.
We can get those little dog kennels and, you know, we can just see in the cargo.
Yeah, me and Fred. That should be interesting.
Yeah. This is I'm sure you got away with that.
My service dog. Nice.
Hey, your service dog speaks English, you know?
Yeah. Well, I don't understand dogs, so he has to.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Sounds good. Well, again, hopefully we can get you back on the show to not have to recap the same stuff again. And
yeah, of course. But, thank you for having me on again.
Yeah, no problem. And yeah, take care, and we'll see you in a couple months. And thanks again, and Ingat.
Yeah, Ingat. Thank you, guys. Take care, and have a good night, yeah?
That was FMA Talk Live. For more information about this episode, past and future episodes, check out www.fmatalklive.com. On Facebook at facebook.com/FMA Talk Live. And we are FMA Talk Live on Twitter. Thanks again for listening.